round of continues on Monday afternoon with The Mystery Project and another in the Elliot Graves series written by David Ferber. The question is, how far will you go to help someone? What about someone you love? What about your brother? Even if what he's doing is illegal and helping him means that you, too, are breaking the law. Now, we can rationalize just about anything, and that brings us to Episode 7 in the Elliot Graves Mysteries, this one called Justified Means.
Life is all about perspective. Beauty's in the eye of the beholder, and so it is with everything else. Take right and wrong, for example. Now, some things, you'll argue, are just wrong. Some things, but not many. Most bad things aren't wrong, really. At least they were entered into with good intentions. But how far do you stretch it? What is the line that one can cross that takes you from understandable to morally detestable?
I gotta say, Elliot, you do sucky pillow talk.
What, philosophy has no place in the bedroom?
Not this bedroom. Within these walls, you are emotion's prisoner, and logical thought has no power. So you working tomorrow?
Yep. We gotta get a car. This is turning into a very old joke.
What? I like picking you up.
And between us, I like it too. To be clear, Kim and I are not a couple. We are a pair of unattached, attractive people who meet for the purposes of being attracted together and all related etceteras. United, we stand against the emotional pitfalls of romantic relationships as we know it. But we are certainly not in a relationship.
Hey, can I take you out for dinner tomorrow night?
What do you mean, take me out?
Like, a movie and then dinner? Trevisi?
We are not a couple.
I love Trevisi.
We are not a couple.
Where do you think you're going?
I just need some water.
Problem is, every now and again, Kim looks at me with more than just lust. Like her day just got a whole lot better. And that'd be cool if every time she did it, it didn't make me think of my ex, Sasha Smith, whom I'm concerned I may still have a thing for.
Well, hurry back or I'll fall asleep.
I think I need a break anyway.
You will eat those words.
Among other things.
I don't get it. Dirty!
I head into her oversized luxury washroom and just look at myself in the mirror for a while. My mom always told me, nice girls don't kiss unless you're going steady. Kim's a nice girl. But like anything, that's a matter of perspective. Maybe Kim is a bad girl, and I'm a bad guy. Maybe 18 years of watching TV warped our brains till the line between right and wrong got fuzzed out like static. Have you ever stared in the mirror and wondered, really questioned if you were an evil person?
Hi, Mr. Green, my contact information?
Yeah.
I definitely think too much. I went home early the next morning. My mom was already gone, and I had the house to myself while I got ready for work. I'm about to head out the door when...
Dude, you look like crap.
Charlie?
Hey, little bro.
Charlie Graves. Brother, fiancé, crystal meth producer.
What's going down?
The car.
It's lovely. What about it?
You want it?
You're gonna give me your Honda.
Grand. Sound fair?
Fair? You love that thing.
All right. 750. No good? I can go 500.
Not like I stopped to ask questions. If I was a cartoon, I'd have little cars where my pupils would be. An ATM stop later, and I was dropping Charlie off at his place.
So, you happy?
Look at me. I'm driving. I'm a contented cow. Are you sure 800's cool?
More than cool, man. Thanks. You ever need anything, you give me a call, right?
Count on it.
And with that, he turns and heads for his house. It's at this point when I'm 800 lighter and in possession of my brother's car that I finally question it all. Charlie does love this car. It's worth way more than 800, and he's not living in a mansion. Does this make sense to you? I can already feel the sensation of doubt crawling all over me, the need to know what's really going on. I mean to get out of the car and ask, but I'm already late for work. The whole time I'm scrubbing pots and bussing tables, I can't get Charlie out of my head. He looked sick, all red around the eyes. Something's wrong, but the rule in the Graves house was always, don't ask, don't tell. The shift flies by pretty fast, and I'm cruising down Portage towards home. Hopefully I can get a good look at the car's engine before I lose the sun. I'm just past Polo Park when something starts bugging me. Do you hear that? In his haste to sell me the car, Charlie had left his cell behind.
Oh.
50 unanswered calls. Who gets 50 messages in 6 hours? Is Charlie's fiancée some obsessive freak? She seemed normal. I didn't have any idea how to open the voicemail on the latest digital bosom of what's it. But I do know a girl who's had a cell phone since diapers.
Elliot.
Hey, I need your...
Shh. Daddy's home.
What? Your dad's never home, like, ever. And I thought he liked me.
He hates you.
He's never met me.
Trust me, just don't go in.
Who is it, Muffin?
Run.
Kim? Who's this?
Gregory Marlin, sir. It's a pleasure.
Marlin?
Oh, my dad's at Marlin, Wheeler, and Cross.
A firm handshake. I like that.
I was about to say, you have the wrist of a golfer.
You play?
Oh, you couldn't call it that, really.
Is that your Civic? That's a good, reliable car.
I'm a good, reliable guy.
Is he staying for dinner?
Go away, Dad.
Absolutely. I'll leave you to it.
Easy peasy lemon squeezy.
How did you do that? He liked you.
He's got a hard-on for Gregory, for sure. Why does he hate Elliot so much?
Well, Elliot dumped me when there was a pregnancy scare.
Oh, but I didn't, and there wasn't.
Yeah, well, he bought me an Audi, so whatever.
Oh, Kim, it's horrible. Look, I need your help.
With what?
Something bad, I promise. Now, the obvious question is, where does an 18-year-old deviant find a reliable codebreaker? Among the deviant population, of course. And with that in mind, I tracked down the wrecking ball that demolished my last relationship.
Dude?
Hi, Alan.
Hey, Kimmy. Dude?
Why am I here, Alan?
To finally slug me for getting with Sasha at Folkfest?
Do it.
And you'd totally let me, wouldn't you?
I got it coming.
See, that's why I dig you, Alan. When you're a prick, you're aware of it. It's a redeeming quality.
So what's the score?
Well, I think it's time you got back in my good graces. Alan's room is a mess of stoner posters and computer equipment. To give credit where it's due, Alan's a genius. Give him a piece of technology and he's in his element. Set him down in front of a computer and he can rain down fire from the sky. He plugs the phone into his PC and has a code in 30 seconds flat.
I can't believe you did it. I owe you a Coke.
You don't have to.
Deal's a deal.
So what do I get for this?
You don't get gut punched, remember?
Oh, right. Sweet.
I know at this point I haven't painted the prettiest picture of myself. While I drive and Kim listens to the voicemail, I take stock of my actions as of late. Sexual promiscuity, I gouged my troubled brother out of his car, threatened an innocent stoner with assault, illegally cracked said troubled brother's cell phone on a gut feeling that something's wrong. I am a horrible person.
What does your brother do?
He cooks. Well, there's a good one. Aiding and abetting my brother, the career criminal. So what are you hearing?
Charlie, it's Bill. I need 3. Charlie, I need 1/4. Charlie, it's Connie. Can you help me out with 2? Keeps on going. There's not one change. Except Claire called and she needs milk.
It's drugs.
Milk means drugs?
No, the orders. They sound like drug weights.
How many drug dealers do you know?
Counting, Lieutenant Chin?
Your cop buddy? You are such a bad influence.
Whatever. Charlie's back dealing again. There's nothing I can do about that. Let's just drop his phone off and my hands stay nice and clean.
Whoa, wait. West End? We don't really have to. No. Honey, no.
Kim's aversion to the West End probably stems from her fear of poverty. What attracts her to me, I'll never know. To her credit, though, the area can be pretty scary. But the Reds and Angels won't bother you unless you bother them first.
Oh, Elliot. I thought you were Charlie.
I ain't, but I got his phone.
He was wondering about that. Hi, Kim. He hasn't talked to you about...
Why don't we just come in?
Oh, sorry. I'm just so stressed right now. Everything seems to be falling apart.
It's around this time I figure I should lead Claire on. She may just end up volunteering everything I need. I think everything will work out. He'll get it done.
You mean he told you?
Well, yeah, I mean, I wasn't going to take the car, no questions asked, was I?
I thought I was being stupid for worrying so much.
Claire, no, you got his best interests at heart.
That's what I said.
You're his fiancé. Nobody cares for him like you.
Good old Kim.
Exactly. You two are so understanding.
We really, really are. Why don't you tell us all about it?
You don't need me to put this on you.
Oh, come on, we're family now, right? So Claire spills. Apparently, even though they'd only owned the house for 2 years, there's 3 years of back property taxes owing on it. $5,000 worth, to be exact. And Charlie had 10 days to get the money together, which explains why he was willing to take so little for the car. She didn't say exactly what he's selling door to door now, but my money's not on vacuum cleaners. At any rate, after a day of running around in the Civic, Kim was through with sleuthing. As promised, she took me to dinner at Trevisi before we headed back to St. James for a movie.
This is going to be great. Jackie Chan, China Man.
If Charlie's desperate for money, there's no telling what he'd be willing to do. I get images in my head of Charlie with a vial of crystal meth, Charlie in jail, Charlie doing horrible things for 20 bucks in a bus shelter. He can't be that desperate.
Elliot.
What?
Popcorn?
Yeah.
And a large popcorn, please.
Maybe the reason this bugs me so much is Claire. Claire's nice. And yeah, I guess it didn't matter so much if Charlie went off to jail when he had nobody to disappoint but himself. I'm still mulling the situation over when my jaw drops and my heart stops cold. There, going into the latest chick flick, was Love of My Life, Sasha Smith, and Some Guy. My first impulse is to deliver a flying kick to Some Guy's chin, but my brain takes over and starts asking questions. Where'd she meet Some Guy? Does he give her the same emotional comfort I did? How long has this been going on for? Is Some Guy better looking than I am?
Hey, wake up. This way.
Yeah, sorry.
You okay?
I'm just spacing. Ooh, popcorn. The movie served as a good distraction from Charlie, but Kim's ear nibbling proved a good distraction from the movie. By the time we got out of there, we were both ready for something with a headboard.
And once we're back in school, people are going to come up and ask about you. And what do I say? Oh, we just sleep together?
Well, that's the case.
Is it?
Why are you looking at me like that?
I'm not.
Yeah, you are. You want to be my girlfriend.
Ow. Yeah, well, you want to be my boyfriend. So?
Yeah, I think so.
Cool.
Totally. He looked so out of it when he showed up this morning. Not like stoned, something worse.
Okay, are you talking about your brother while I'm trying to sex you up? Because that doesn't fly.
$5,000 in 10 days. How did you do that? Clearly, I couldn't let this go. By sunup, I was sitting in the Civic outside Charlie's. Eventually, he pulls up in a brand new Neon, clearly stolen. It had rental plates, and nobody's given Charlie a credit card. The old don't ask, don't tell rule flies out the window at this point. For his sake, I need answers.
Charlie!
We took my legally obtained car and headed out to some little hole-in-the-wall diner. Charlie was so strung out, I think he was glad to get it all off his chest.
You don't know what it's like, man. We just painted that friggin' house, and now they're trying to take it out from under us.
Mm-hmm.
And that damn Carter won't let me far enough out from under his boots to make some real cash. I'm stuck selling rocks to junkies one at a time.
Rocks? Crack? You're selling crack?
Dude!
Because I've heard most industrial crack fillers on the market don't live up to their claims.
Yes, I am. You want to untwist your panties?
Well, that's uncool, Chuck. You're high right now. Look at you. Your hair's falling out.
I know.
How much do you still need to keep the house?
$2,900. There's no way I'll make it. Claire's gonna have the baby on the street.
The baby? There's a baby?
She's 3 months in.
Oh, man.
I'm not losing that house, Al.
Well, what if you could stop dealing crack tonight, keep your house, and get to spend quality time with your brother?
What's the deal?
I got $3,000. And I got a brother I want to see dead, so here's the deal. I'll lend you the money you need. In return, you put $3,000 worth of work into the Civic with me.
What's the catch?
The catch is if I ever get a whiff you're back on crack, I will sick the cops on the lab in your basement so fast your boxers will spin.
You'd turn me in.
I'd lend you $3,000. I'll definitely turn you in, man, if you keep this up. I may be a low-class piece of crap, but this ain't cool. So what's it gonna be?
Gregory, how nice to see you again.
Good morning, Mr. Chandler. I was hoping Kimberly might be available.
Certainly. May I take your jacket?
Why, thank you.
Muffin!
What?
Gregory's here for you.
Who?
Gregory!
Oh, send him up.
You heard the lady.
Thank you, sir. Having successfully outwitted security, I laid it all out for Kim. When you're as benevolent as I am, life comes easy.
So what you're saying is you just gave a crackhead $3,000?
Wait, no.
What makes you think he's not just going to burn that money in his pipe?
Claire's pregnant. He's in this for the long haul.
She is?
It's all good. He'll get off the stuff, the house is paid for, and my car's got its own personal mechanic.
Dad?
Hi.
Can you knock?
Is Gregory staying for dinner?
Well, I guess I am.
Perfect. How's lobster sound?
To me, lobster sounds like a huge sea insect, boiled alive so you can crack the exoskeleton open and suck out the insides. When you're choking down delicacies, it's hard to maintain sycophantic charm. And after that, of course, I'd like to spend some time traveling.
I have a friend on the admissions board at Harvard. Could put in a good word.
Dad?
Well, I'd appreciate that, sir, but I like to get ahead on my own merits.
Muffin, do we leave our cell phones on at the table?
No, Dad. I'm sorry. Just a second. Hello? Yeah. It's for you.
Oh, excuse me a moment. Hello?
Elliot, where are you? I mean, I don't know what to do.
I'm in Tuxedo. What's going down?
Charlie. Stupid brick for a brain, Charlie.
What happened? Well, I talked to him this morning.
He was supposed to be back at 1. He promised. I swear I'm going to freak out.
Claire, just cool off. Calm down. Make some tea. He's probably out. Probably out just.
Elliot.
All right. You gotta tell me who he was working for.
What?
Charlie wasn't selling his own product. Where'd he get it from?
Some guy at the Fort Garry.
You got a name?
Cooper or...
Carter?
Yeah, Carter. Call me if you find him.
I promise. Just stay there in case he comes home.
What's going on?
I'm afraid I have to skip dessert.
But I made creme brulee.
Freakish caramelized desserts aside, my day was not looking up. Kim ditched her dad, wetting herself at the idea of tracking down a genuine drug lord. Now, if you walk up to the front desk of a hotel, it's illegal for them to give you information on their guests, including room numbers. You can, however, ask to leave a message and just pay attention to the number they write on the card.
I'll see that he gets it.
Thank you. You've been a marvelous help. We head up to the 13th floor, which is actually called the 14th floor, and find the door. Once we're there, though, the fear sets in. I pictured this big bald guy waiting inside, wrapped up in gold chains, sitting on a bed of hookers, white powder, and automatic weapons. This is so stupid.
What are you going to say?
I don't know yet.
Whoa! Freeze! Put your hands on your head! Hands on your head!
No problem, officer. Hands on head. Hands on
down
head.
Down on your knees!
While I wasn't expecting to walk into a police sting, it turned out to be an upswing. Indeed, the suite was filled up with weapons and various narcotics, not the least of which was tons of crack, coke, and morphine. By the looks of the inhabitants, they'd have killed me for showing up without looking to buy. Lined up on the floor, all cuffed, were about 8 cronies, my brother included, and the big boss, Carter. Turns out Carter's not bald. He's a white guy with a fro. With no drugs on us and no real evidence, the cops let us go. After we call Claire, Kim's too shaken up to go home. So we just end up driving around for a few hours, listening to the radio and cooling off. You can only listen to the same tune so long, though.
I told you there was no way he'd go straight. You don't just kick crack. That's what I said. Come on.
Hey, your dad's a lawyer.
But dealing crack, Elliot?
I know.
It kills people. It destroys lives.
I just said I know.
It's like, how many times can you forgive someone?
One more, I think.
One more what? What can you do? He's arrested. He's going down. He is down.
There's always a way.
There's no way.
I'm telling you there's a way.
Want to bet?
Lieutenant John Chin and I hadn't talked in a while. Not since the last time I blackmailed him, actually. But hey, everyone has quirky relationships.
Hey, Chinny Chin Chin.
You.
Miss me?
Get out.
Need a little favor.
You are all out of favors.
So this is a nice office. So big.
What do you want?
I got a brother, name of Charlie Graves. Just got arrested tonight on drug charges. It'd mean a lot to me if it went away.
Just who do you think you are, you little piece of...
Let's say it'd mean a lot to you, too. Chin's experienced enough with me to know that I have the capacity to see threats through, veiled or not. He's also aware that I'm intimately familiar with one of his more catastrophic mistakes, and I'm not above hitting low.
What guarantee do I have?
And I won't do this to you a third time? All right, Chin, I understand you're in a delicate position, so I'll be brief. Get my brother out, or it's your ass.
He walks in. 5 minutes later, you walk out.
I ask you, how many kid brothers can pull that off, huh? How many people, period?
Shut up, Charlie.
What?
Just shut up, man.
Oh, so you help me out and lay a guilt trip on me? Whoa! What are you doing, man? You could have killed me.
One, wear a seatbelt. Two, you said you were done with that crap. You said, and then you went straight to Carter's.
You don't know what it's like.
I don't know what it's like to have a girl that I plan to marry in a bun in the oven either.
Exactly, man. My life is so stressful.
You're not shutting up.
What do you want from me?
I want you to look in the mirror, man. This is going to kill you. You should be on your way to Headingley right now, but instead you're... forget it. Nah, forget it. I should have let him keep you behind bars.
Yeah? So why didn't you?
Charlie! Baby, are you okay?
That's why. I'll be back Tuesday.
Hey, sweetie. What happens on Tuesday?
On Tuesday, we start work on this hot little drag racer.
It's a drag racer?
It will be by the time you're done paying me off. Right. 7 hours earlier, I was positive Charlie would kick it. Now, I'm not so sure, but it's good to keep hope alive. I may officially be out of favors with Lieutenant John Chin, but my brother was a free man, and there wouldn't be another fatherless kid growing up in the West End. For now. Usually after I chuck myself into someone's life like this, I come out suffering a loss. One less car, one less friend, or something. But today it's all good. No, with Kim's dad and his boyfriends, my brother out of jail, and a generally optimistic view on life, everything is pretty peachy.
You sound happy.
I am happy.
That was so cool how you just walked in and walked out with him. You're amazing.
Maybe. At least I'm happy.
Me too. With you, I mean. I love this.
Yeah.
Elliot?
Yeah.
I love you.
I love you too, Sasha.
Oh.
No.
Oh.
Listen, Kim, that was totally nuts.
Elliot Graves, written and conceived by David Ferber. Jacob Tierney stars as Elliot, with Lindy Booth as Kim, Herbie Barnes as Charlie, Ho Chow as Lieutenant Chin, Doug Hughes as Mr. Chandler, Peter Costigan as Alan, and Joanne Venicola as Claire. The series script editor is Dave Carley. Engineers were Wayne Richards and Mark DeMers. Sound effects by Mark DeMers. Production assistance by Rosie Fernandez. Produced by Tom Anico. The executive producer is Damiano Pietropaolo. Now, Elliot smokes quite a lot in this series. Smoking features, too, in this song, performed by Pink Martini.
Ma chambre a la forme d'une page. Le soleil passe son bras par la fenêtre. Les chasseurs à ma porte comme les petits soldats qui veulent me prendre. Je ne veux pas travailler, je ne veux pas déjeuner, je veux seulement oublier et puis je fume. Déjà j'ai connu le parfum de l'amour, millions de roses ne m'aimeraient pas autant. Maintenant une seule fleur dans mes entourages me rend malade. Je ne veux pas travailler, je ne veux pas déjeuner, je veux seulement oublier et puis je fume. Je ne suis pas fier de sa vie qui veut me tuer. C'est magnifique être sympathique, mais je ne le connais jamais. Je ne veux pas travailler, non, je ne veux pas déjeuner. Je veux seulement oublier, et puis je fume.
Martini, that's synthetique. This is the roundup on CBC Radio 1. Still to come this afternoon on the program when the show returns after the news break. There'll be some music inspired by The Last Crossing. This is a novel by Guy Vanderhaeghe, which this past Friday was named as the winner of this year's Canada Reads Extravaganza. And it'll be featured on the roundup in serialized form starting in March. All of this week, however, in tribute to Guy Vanderhaeghe, who's, of course, a very, very fine writer and lives in Saskatoon, we'll be looking at some of his earlier stories and excerpts from novels. So in the next half hour, then, music inspired by The Last Crossing, and then after that, one of those Guy Vanderhaeghe short stories. I'm Bill Richardson, back with you after the news.